Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Zach Goldstein, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chief Information Officer and Director for High Performance Computing and Communications. Zach, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The NOAA CIO has been on the program several times when your predecessor, Joe Klimovich, was kind enough to come on the show. So I always like to catch up on some older priorities. Now, you were the deputy. You got obviously promoted to the full CIO role. You got to pick up a lot of Joe's old efforts. So let's start with an older one, which is about from a couple years ago, moving to the cloud. It was very much a cost reduction initiative at the time. What's the latest with the cloud effort and how much cost avoidance or savings is NOAA seeing?
So we've made some awards. We awarded Microsoft Azure and a contract for Amazon Web Services, cloud contracts, both of which are available for customers for infrastructure as a service and some platform as a service capabilities. Way back when Joe was still here, we had started with software as a service, the Google Apps for Government environment. We've expanded on that. The AWS contract awarded in September 2015, about $9.9 million. Azure, a much smaller effort at this point. We're moving out in a smart way. We're taking our time and organizing our efforts so that we can gain economies of scale, save infrastructure costs, have a single security boundary for multiple systems in the cloud. Once our customers are using the cloud, we'll have additional economies through system administration and maintenance. We have these two cloud providers to help us learn how we handle the transition and optimize the services we receive. So far, we have the Office of Marine and Aviation Operations using Microsoft Azure. That's the NOAA core operation, the ships and planes that NOAA operates. The National Ocean Service has also recently started using the Azure cloud. As far as the savings go, it's really too early to know. We've completed an experiment where we put archive data in the cloud, but we're still evaluating the results.
You have two different opportunities for cloud. Are the different offices looking at both offerings and then making a decision based on what fits their needs better, or are they being, if you will, assigned in some way?
We're still working out the mechanism for folks to choose where to go. The Azure vehicle was in place earlier, so if folks are ready and they've already done the virtualization and can move, they can use that. We're putting together a more formal process for moving to AWS. But in both cases, what we want to do is get a better handle on the commonality opportunities. So we don't want everybody simply bringing their own system administrator for their instance. We don't want to have everybody having to figure out how they're going to do the security element that is not being provided by the cloud provider. And then we'll be putting in place the infrastructure for both, and based on the natural parameters of the application that's being moved and the economics, we'll make decisions.
And you're still in that, you know, infrastructure platform, software as a service, or you're moving storage? What types of stuff are you putting in the cloud?
Applications, storage. A big opportunity is development, because you can spin up a machine as quickly as you need it, and then when the development effort's over, you don't need it anymore. So you have the elasticity of the cloud for that. Perhaps some public presence. There's really not a natural limitation on it, but that's for both infrastructure as a service and a bit of platform as a service. Software as a service is usually based on the application itself. So we have Google Apps for Government. We have, since you last interviewed Joe, we've put in place the emergency notification system across NOAA. That's software as a service based alerting system used by the Council of Governments in the Washington metropolitan area, among many other customers.
So that's the alert system, for instance, when we get the snowstorms or hurricane alerts in the Washington, D.C. area. Is that where that comes from?
If you're getting it from a Council of Governments member, like Fairfax County or Montgomery County or D.C., yes. But you'll notice that sometimes you get alerts no matter where you are, and it's telling you that this tornado warning or a hurricane warning or a flash flood warning, and it's somehow coming directly to your cell phone. That's not coming from ENS. That's coming directly from the National Weather Service via arrangements with FEMA and the FCC. And it's a really cool service that you don't even have to register for. We just push it to your phone. And the system finds you, because the way it works is that the watch box or the warning box is overlaid on every cell tower in that area, and every phone lights up that's within the range of the warning box. So that's a different capability. But ENS, if it's coming from the Council of Governments, yeah, that's the same thing we use if we have a building alert or something like that.
And that's all, as you said, in the cloud, software as a service. So it makes the volume and the how quickly you can put it out, that all makes things a lot easier, I imagine.
It makes it a lot easier. And there's some real economies of scale, obviously, because it's in the cloud. And they do a pretty good job on the security end as well.
So are these clouds mostly that you're moving to, are they a combination of public sector, private sector? Are they hybrid, a commercial cloud? I know AWS and Microsoft are quote-unquote commercial, but they could be government-only. What kind of cloud are you using?
So in the case of Microsoft Azure, in the case of AWS, we're using the government community cloud. I call it a community because they've all been certified to standards that the government has set out. We're using a hybrid approach. So, for example, we use ServiceNow as the help desk platform, but the help desk itself is managing infrastructure that's in a private cloud. So in many cases, we do a hybrid. OMAO, that I was talking about a few moments ago, which is using Azure, they're using it as a disaster recovery storage for business data that they actually have on-prem. We also have Akamai that we use to augment our private cloud web services, but of course Akamai is a public cloud, and that's commercial, that's not a community. So we tend to blend them together. We also have some operations like the NOAA Information Technology Center, which are private clouds. In the case of our service software as a service, there we're also using the government community, so Google Apps for Government, and I already mentioned the emergency notification system from Everbridge, which is a community cloud as well.
And I imagine because they're certified through the FedRAMP process, they're cyber secure, at least up to the standards that low moderate levels, that's why you can feel comfortable putting your data, you're using the applications inside this government community cloud, where you don't have to worry so much about, well, is this being shared with people outside the government? It's okay if someone else in commerce maybe is shared with, but not some random company out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Our biggest issue generally is not confidentiality. In the case of the emergency notification system, we have some not exactly sensitive information. People's contact information is pretty much all that's there. The biggest issue with most of NOAA's information systems and going to the cloud or doing any security is availability and integrity. As you can imagine, if someone could alter the hurricane track or deny our ability to put a tornado warning out, we'd be in a world of hurt. So we do care a lot about security, obviously. It's the biggest concern that any CIO has, especially one who's charged with the kind of mission that we have here. So the cloud does a lot of good for us at the moderate level. At the high impact level, for the systems that we use to actually protect life and property, we're looking for, first of all, it has to be a high impact baseline. FedRAMP isn't there yet. And from an availability perspective, I'd be very concerned about being in a multi-tenant environment, even if it was a community cloud, because we have to have assurance that the same disaster that starts affecting the national infrastructure and the cloud provider doesn't prevent us from providing the warnings that people's lives depend upon.
Now, is the high impact cloud, the FISMA High that the FedRAMP folks are starting to work on and have been working on, is that something you guys would be interested in?
Well, we might be, especially if we can get somebody certified and then get a single tenant environment so we don't worry about availability. The other possibility is if we have enough alternate backups with different providers, we might be interested in it then. So we're watching it carefully, but I'm not having that high a hope right now. If it's high, I'm planning on it being a private cloud and a single tenancy. And that doesn't mean that this is federal employees doing it. It doesn't mean that we're doing it in our premise. It just means that we're the only tenant of a contract that we know meets the high impact baseline.
And I think in the end, that's what a lot of these clouds will have to get to, is for this high impact, is single tenant, or at least in such a way that's so secure that you have to feel comfortable with using it and putting potentially sensitive data in there. And I think what the big jump will be is if you can get a multi-tenant, but people still feel comfortable enough that their sensitive data is protected. I'm not sure if we'll ever get there, but I think that's part of the end goal with the FedRAMP process.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about economies of scale. Single tenancy tends to cut into that, which is part of the problem. But the idea of having a FedRAMP baseline at high and the independent analysis that you can trust is an advantage to any security regimen, even if you can't have multi-tenancy.
generally speaking, the cloud's been good for you guys? I mean, has this been a good decision? I mean, obviously, if it wasn't, you wouldn't have rewarded the recent contracts with Amazon and Microsoft, but there was a lot of push for agencies to jump into the cloud. Some were quicker than others. I think NOAA was quicker than most. When you look back over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, has it lived up to your expectations?
Certainly the Google Apps for Government has, and the other clouds have as well. In the case of the Google environment, by moving to it very early, we were able to get for our users, our customers across NOAA, some significant capabilities that we couldn't have afforded to buy. And it's all because of the cloud economics. So it's worked out real well. There are still lots of challenges in going to the cloud. Some of the challenges are unique to software as a service, and that's a security challenge I'd like to mention. Despite the inherent goodness of the environment that your data is sitting in, from an availability, confidentiality, integrity perspective, there's a challenge in continuous monitoring when we're talking about software as a service. So under FedRAMP, the way this is working is that scans on a monthly basis are going to be available through the OMB Max. So the cloud provider produces it once, and every cloud user can share it through the OMB Max. What that doesn't get you is the real-time correlation of what's happening to your data and your processing that you need to really understand your threat posture. To get that kind of feed, you'd have to cut a separate deal with the cloud provider, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense for everybody to cut a separate deal. So what I'm hoping will emerge over time is some sort of brokering deal where the cloud provider provides real-time access to logs and they can be parsed for each customer so everybody gets a real-time feed. That's something that still has to happen. That's what Google itself does for its own data. They're constantly monitoring, as we are, of the systems we operate. But when you go to the cloud, now you've got the dilemma that you don't have the visibility that they have of your data.
I think that's a huge challenge. I want to continue to talk about this challenge of the cloud, but let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about continuous monitoring and software as a service. My guest today is Zach Goldstein, the NOAA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Zach Goldstein, the NOAA Chief Information Officer. Now, Zach, right before break, you just started talking about cloud and the challenges with cloud, specifically around security and continuous monitoring. And this is an issue that I think every CIO is going to face if they're not already facing it. And as you said, with the new CDM program that the Homeland Security Department is implementing across government, that adds another layer of complexity to this whole program. Is there a answer to that problem? Is there a solution that's out there that can make continuous monitoring of cloud work? Or what can be done from your perspective?
I think the FedRAMP program is doing a really good job so far in addressing it. They've got the monthly scans that are coming in to the OMB Max that we can review and understand what's being done. The same thing can happen with the state of the components. They can do the same thing, get that data, make it available to Max. Where we need to take it is the real-time situational awareness of what's actually happening to your data so that you can do things like insider threat analysis and look for patterns that don't make sense. I know that the companies that provide these services, they do that for their insiders. They look to see if people are having transactions which just seem out of the ordinary. That's a critical thing when you're doing log review. You don't want to have to do that once a week, once a month. You need to be doing that real time. You need to be using advanced tools that are automatically doing it for you. And for that, we're going to have to build on what GSA has already done in the FedRAMP program and take it to the next level where you can get an automatic feed and do it economically, because we can't all cut our own deals. No cloud provider would stand for that, and I don't think we could afford the price. But I think they're making a great start because they recognize the issue and they've got a good model for how we share risk information across all of the customers of a given cloud provider. So they're definitely on the right track, and we just need to keep working at it. The other thing that they're working is this question about how you get a cloud provider behind a trusted internet connection. So there's a working group that's looking at that. This isn't an easy issue to solve because trusted internet connections are a federal thing. But I think it's going to be solvable if they put their heads to it. The other challenges aren't so much in security. I think it's how to make sure you get the most bang for your buck when you're doing infrastructure as a service and platform as a service in an organization like NOAA. We're so separated. We have our own applications by line office, by program. We have a great opportunity, if we can watch what we're doing, to get some economies in system administration and in security, because the cloud provider provides security for their boundary. But then at the application level, you have all these other security responsibilities. There's an opportunity for economies of scale if we can get our act together and organize properly.
I want to talk about the economies of scale, but before that, when you do get feeds from FedRAMP, when you do go to OMB Max and get the feeds, are you seeing only for instance, Commerce Department, or are you seeing only for NOAA, and you'd like to take it to the next level down, or what aren't you getting that you would like to get, or is it just the timing?
It's the timing, mostly, because what you're getting is a scan of the cloud provider's infrastructure. So it's a commonly shared infrastructure. You have a virtual machine, the actual infrastructure itself, and all the, you don't even know what virtual machine you're going to get. So you're seeing all the scans together for the entire environment. What I'm suggesting we need is to see the audit logs real time for your virtual machine, for your application, especially in software as a service. It's not so much when it's platform as a service or infrastructure as a service, because you can guarantee, you can simply have your virtual machine feed your correlation engine. It's the software as a service that's the real issue.
Okay, that makes sense. I just wasn't sure what, you know, you were hoping to get out of it, because if you could see some of it but not all of it, what was the other all of it?
Yeah, it's a narrow issue. Like I said, if you've got your virtual machine on there, you pretty much can control and get the data you need. It's when software as a service and you don't know what even virtual machine is supporting you. That's when you need to see the audit logs at the application level.
And the other piece of this, as you talked about for cloud, is that things are set up in such silos that are you going to get the economies of scale? Are you going to be able to reduce, for instance, the cost for systems administration by working together? And I think this goes to a governance issue that I know we may talk about later in the program. But is that what you basically have to bring people together and take advantage of the here it comes, the FATARA law, to say, hey, mission one and mission two, you guys have similar needs. I'm the CIO. You're both coming through me. I can help you both meet those needs equally and save money. I mean, is that what really you're getting toward?
Yes. Although I'm not sure FATARA at this stage of our conversation is necessary to achieve what we just described. We have a very strong focus from the NOAA leadership on providing enterprise services and a very strong vision from our undersecretary of why we want to do things commonly in NOAA. And that's not first to save money, but rather to reduce from years to months and weeks the time it takes for a good idea to become manifest as a powerful mission application. So with that vision at the top, we've got a lot of support for doing things like, let's go to the cloud together. Let's figure out, as we go to the cloud together, how we can work together. We have a CIO council that's very focused on doing the right thing to advance the mission and save resources that can be applied right back to the mission. So even without FATARA, I think we've got a lot of momentum there, and that won't be that heavy a lift in terms of realizing the benefits of, for example, going to the cloud. Where FATARA comes in and where governance comes in is getting deeper visibility into spending and planning and putting in place the structures that allow you to not sort of stumble upon an opportunity because we happen to be going to the same cloud provider, but actually plan it and be more deliberate about the opportunities. So, for example, FATARA would cause a stronger relationship than exists today between CIOs and CFOs because of the nature of the processes that it requires.
I know Steve Cooper, the Commerce Department CIO, has talked several times in public about how Commerce is implementing FATARA. What are you seeing it at your level? I mean, is it starting to, for lack of a word, kind of filter down to you?
Oh, absolutely. So we discussed it at the CIO Council. That's Steve's council. Steve and I have talked about it separately. Steve has made the comment that NOAA is a bit of a microcosm of commerce in terms of the history of separation. So the Weather Service used to be the Weather Bureau and so on. And so Steve's got bureaus. I have former bureaus. And the challenges of pulling things together to advance the mission and best spend taxpayer dollars are similar. So he's accountable by the Congress for under FATARA for every dollar we spend. And the conversation that Steve has started is how can all the CIOs and the bureaus support him in extending what he sees, what he knows, and what he can do with that authority.
As it continues along, do you find your relationships at the bureau level, you know, within NOAA are getting stronger? As you talked about earlier, the FATARA improves the relationship, strengthens the relationship between the CIO, CFO, Chief Acquisition, Chief Human Capital Officer. Are you starting to see that happen now at the NOAA level?
I'm seeing it, but I'm seeing it, I think, more because of the folks we have in those positions and because of the leadership of NOAA. I'm not trying to diminish FATARA, but this is an amazing place. So I've had a long relationship, for example, with the Chief of Acquisition because we have this program called NOAA Link, which is a shared program between the head of acquisition of NOAA and the CIO. And that program is 4 or 5 years old at this point, and it gives us, both of us, visibility over, well, in theory, all of the IT spend that goes to acquisition. We have a CFO who sees the value of collaborating, and we're doing that. Our workforce management lead and I have talked about the future of the 2210 job series, which is, interestingly enough, the second largest job series in NOAA after meteorologists. So we're already doing all those things. I think what FATARA does is because it holds us accountable starting at Steve Cooper's level, and then as we help Steve at the bureau level, it puts more formality about that and makes sure that we don't forget to do the things that we're trying to do anyway. It makes sure we devote the right time and effort to it.
And I think that's key, is are those relationships, if they're already strong, they're just going to get stronger. If the relationships didn't exist, then I think that this helps make the relationships happen. But as you said at the very beginning of that part of the conversation, it's really about the people. If the people don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. So it doesn't matter what laws you have in place.
Right. Governance is a people exercise. I think it's the fundamental mechanism by which we build trust, because that's the only way that people say, okay, I've got this mission to chart the ocean, to protect life and property with the weather forecast, to protect an endangered species, and my IT is critical to doing that. Can I trust you to take a piece of that and not mess up my mission? So trust is about a people thing, and the way you earn trust is through performance and transparency. And governance is the mechanism by which people get the transparency and the feedback and turn something like a service level agreement into not just here's the service level, take it or leave it, but a real agreement that I will give you my resources in return for this level of service. That relationship, earning people's trust and providing the oversight to maintain that trust.
All right, on that note, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk about one other older priority, mobility. My guest today is Zach Oldstein, the NOAA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Zach Oldstein, the NOAA Chief Information Officer. Now, Zach, before break, we talked a lot about the cloud. We talked some about governance and FATARA. One of the other older priorities that I want to make sure we hit upon is mobility. When I talked to the former CIO a couple years ago, you guys were just conducting some pilots using government-furnished devices, even some personal devices. What's the latest with mobility? What's the latest with your move to mobility? And even where does BYOD, bring your own device, fit in with this discussion?
So as far as mobility goes, and BYOD is always the big question, we've been doing mobility for a while. I know BlackBerries are old hat. We got off of those. We moved to iPhones. Now we have Androids and iPhones. So we have the two largest operating environments that one can have. We manage our mobility through the cloud. We use Moz 360 for that. But as far as BYOD goes, that's an interesting question. We did a annual customer satisfaction survey and got a response that only 25% of our employees were interested in using their personal devices for government work if it meant that the government had the ability to wipe their device, and if it meant that the government, their employer, had the ability or the responsibility to manage their device. So it's something that without that kind of demand and without a really clear solution on containerization where we can guarantee that we don't have to wipe the entire device, we only have to worry about our piece of the device. And of course, those technologies exist, but they're not easy to implement necessarily, and they're not it's not clear what the economic case is in terms of money saved for people bringing their own devices. There's also people who will think, well, if I have to carry a phone because you need to get a hold of me, then I want you paying for it. And then you get into questions about reimbursement. So without the big drive from our employees, it's something that, as far as I stand here right now, we're not moving out aggressively on. We have one other thing, though. Because of the way you can access Google Apps for Government, you effectively have BYOD in that you can access your email, your docs, your sites, your services from Google Apps for Government through your personal device, provided that the settings don't cause the government data to be stored on your personal device. So a lot of people are doing that, and that seems to scratch the itch of using their own device. And at the present, we're not going much beyond that.
That's interesting that only 25% of the employees are worried about that. Did that cause you as the CIO to say, well, maybe I need to deal with this containerization issue or look into it? Or you figured that, as you said, because of the Google Apps for Government really does solve that issue in a bigger way, there's no maybe need to invest?
Right, that's where I'm coming from. 25% were interested. 75% were not interested. And maybe it's because when we did the survey, they could get access to Google Apps for Government from their personal device without us managing their device. So they may be making that same calculation. And it's not like we don't have a lot of other things to do with cyber and cloud and architecture and Fatara. So it's not a big priority right now, but as the economics of containerization change, as capabilities of phones change, and the desire to have more capability than just accessing through a browser or something that can't store data, we might revisit it.
All right, very nice, very nice. Now, let's move on to some new priorities. You've talked some big ones around cloud. You talked about mobility. What else are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
Fatara. We hope in the 6 to 9 months that are coming to have worked with Steve and his team to get a really good framework for the Department of Commerce for implementing Fatara. And it's an obligation that he's got, and it's one that we're all committed across the department to support him on. So that's something that I expect will occur. And that framework will not only be at the department level, it will also include the ways that Steve sees he needs help from Bureau CIOs. Additionally, we're transitioning a program called NWAVE, which is a nationwide network developed originally for research on research and development supercomputers. It's a 10 gig network. It's going up to 100 gigabytes. And what we're doing is we're moving it from research to operations. It started as a network that we built to move our massive amounts of supercomputer model data around the country. But because of the economics and the reliability of the system, we're finding that our mission systems, backups to satellite archiving functions and so on, are using the network as well. And now that we've got all these dependencies upon it, we're doing to the network what we do to our models and so many other things at NOAA. We're transitioning them from research to operations. So that's exciting. And we'll be able to use the NWAVE network as the backbone for further network consolidation to improve support to our customers. Something else that we expect to do in the security arena is finish rolling out our TIC 2.0 capabilities. That's Trusted Internet Connection 2.0. We'll be transitioning to put all of NOAA's network traffic behind our new capabilities. We're very close to that right now. We're about 97-98%, so we're extremely close there. We're working with the Department of Commerce and through them, the Department of Homeland Security, to implement CDM. We expect to have a system design review for CDM by the second quarter of FY16, making some real exciting improvements. I won't say improvements. This is actually cutting-edge research into fine-grained computing for high-performance computing on our R&D side. So that's exciting. We also recently upgraded the operational high-performance computers that we have so that the primary and backup systems are each at a little bit over 2 petaflops. And we're also working on a number of large acquisitions. We have a very big cybersecurity center contract coming up. It's going to differentiate from what we're doing today in that, in addition to having folks on premises monitoring our systems, doing automatic correlation of events, we're looking to industry to see if they can offer us, as part of that offering, security as a service. And the other ideas about how we can more efficiently provide corporate-wide security services. So we expect to have a RFP this coming spring and an award for that cybersecurity center in September of 2016. So a lot of important things coming on. And last but not least, we also have begun the migration of mission support desktop kinds of computing from individual line offices to the system that we call corporate services. We did that about a year and a half ago with the Office of Marine and Aviation Operations. It led to some significant savings. It led to them freeing up some critical IT people to work on their mission side. And following that model, we, over the next few years, are going to be expanding that NOAA-wide. And we expect that this year, this fiscal year 16, parts of two line offices will have completed that migration.
All right, so a lot going on, a lot to follow up with. So let me start with NWAVE. This is a fascinating project. One of the things you mentioned was it initially was just a research backbone, and now you're actually pushing out to all of NOAA, and you're going to do further network consolidation. Do you expect NWAVE to eventually replace multiple networks, or where do you see NWAVE taking NOAA? You know, if we talk again in a year or two from now, what will NWAVE be, hopefully?
I think a year or two from now, we'll have NWAVE as the largest single network across NOAA, and we'll probably have a dedicated operational network inside the Weather Service for handling communications between supercomputers and the folks who generate products from supercomputers, and then the humans at the end of the line, the meteorologists, who add their skill to the skill of the computer models to produce the best forecast possible. That probably will be a separate network for quite some time because of the security requirements associated with that. But I expect in the time frame you just described, the NWAVE probably will subsume most of the other standalone networks in NOAA. Time will tell, but that's certainly a possibility because it's already doing that.
And in many ways, I mean, that's both a cost savings, it's an efficiency savings, but 100 gigabytes is incredibly fast as well. And so that's maybe even, in the end, the big benefit to all of NOAA.
Mm-hmm. All sorts of products that you can move around. You can distribute the workloads. There's all sorts of things that come from that.
One of the other big ones that you also talked about was the Cyber Center contract that's coming out. I'm glad you're able to tell us about the RFP plans and the award plans, because I know that was my next question. A lot of vendors listen to the show. Currently, the Commerce Department has a Cyber Center. Now, is this one going to be a complement to the Commerce Department one, or this will be in addition to? Where does it fit in the overall scheme of things?
The Department of Commerce honored us by picking our cybersecurity center as the location for their cybersecurity center. The contract I'm describing is for both. It's both to support the Department of Commerce's Enterprise Security Operations Center and the NOAA Computers Cybersecurity Center. They're co-located. They will share a contractor team. They share infrastructure. They're in the same high-impact security boundary.
So in many ways, what you're really doing is this is an enterprise service for not just NOAA, but for all of commerce, what you come out with.
Right. You get all the economies of scale from combining contracts, from combining staffs. There are clear lines of distinction in terms of authority. When we have an incident, we go first through the NCERT, then through the Department of Commerce, incident response team before others. So there's clear lines of responsibility, but wherever there are economies of scale that can be achieved, they're going to be achieved.
I want to talk more about security before we go down that path. One of the other priorities mentioned was the migration of mission support desktop computing from the individual line offices really to more of a corporate service. This is something I'm hearing that's happening, I think, across commerce. One of your co-CIOs from the ITA organization, Joe Paiva, is also moving down this direction. Is this something that, you know, that is just a trend within commerce, or what's happening? You know, here you're talking about it, he's talking about it, others are talking about it. What's this move toward this corporate services?
I think it's because it just makes sense. IT makes it easy to do. The more you virtualize, the more you streamline, the more you use the same products, it starts inviting the question, why are we doing this differently when we're doing the same thing? When you look at one line office or one bureau and you see that the infrastructure looks the same, it invites the question, can I get a better deal if I consolidate it? But there's also this idea, certainly in NOAA, a driving idea, is that we are one of the most IT-dependent missions in government. It's one of the exciting things about the job I'm privileged to have, and that is that you can make a direct connection between getting IT investment right at NOAA and saving lives. And if you're spending your money unnecessarily, duplicating your effort on managing some desktop infrastructure that you could more economically consolidate and move to the cloud or someplace else, you're not harvesting all the resources available to put on the mission side and advance our mission of protecting life and property. And I think that every CIO thinks it through the same way. There's very important things that Joe has to do, Joe Piva that is, at ITA to support his end users. And if there's ways of shifting resources around so you can put the focus on what's unique, then you do it.
And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that is the trend that we're seeing. Zach, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk more about cybersecurity. My guest is Zach Goldstein, the NOAA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.